In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. For as many as you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Who do these verses remind you of on this day? Certainly, our eyes, the mind's eye, should go to St. Mary of Egypt, because she personified these truths. She was one who had many sins, and she loved much. She was forgiven much because she loved much, because she repented much. And she, from a time when she was enslaved to passions, graduated to the point where her conscience was cleaned of all those dead works, of all those former things, which she said to Zosimus in passing, because she was so ashamed of them and didn't want to remember them and recall them. She was purged from those dead works to serve the living God. St. Mary of Egypt is before us today. And also before us today is the Passion of Christ. It's coming soon. This Gospel is speaking of it. Next week, on Saturday, will be Lazarus Saturday and then Palm Sunday. And then the whole process of the Passion will play out. And what is this passion for? To take people like Mary and purge them of their dead works so that they can serve the living God. So that they can know that they are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Christianity is about the reclamation of the soul, about the change of the soul. Now this gospel that is said for women martyrs is even more applicable to women who were formerly great sinners like Mary, and actually really to all of us. Because if we understand what the Lord is saying about forgiveness, then we will understand that we fit in the category of this woman, the one who sinned much and was forgiven much. And because of being forgiven much for all of her sins, she loved much. Sometimes I think we read this because of our pride. We read this in a way that it's not meant to be understood. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I think we in our pride think of ourselves as needing not so much to be forgiven, not compared to Hitler, not compared to some great sinner. So if we have that logic about ourselves, then when we read this, we are much like those people of the Gergesenes that see Christ go by and see Christ work a miracle and ask Him to leave away from our land because we don't understand. We should love much because we know we are forgiven much, because there is much that is wrong with us. The world doesn't like to hear this. That's why we have all this pop psychology about accepting ourselves. Oh, a Christian absolutely accepts himself. He accepts who he is and who he will become because of faith in Christ. But he doesn't pretend he is something he is not. He knows that he is full of sin. This is not something which makes him neurotic. This is something which makes him full of thanksgiving, that God accepts him, and that God will change him. Of course, not just magically by a wand, but through his effort and God's grace, he will no longer serve dead works. And his conscience will be pure, purged of these dead works, and he will serve the living God. If this is not the good news, then I'm afraid there is no good news. All of us have dead works that unfortunately we still serve. Someday we can be free of all of them. In fact, as we live our life, we should gradually be shedding many of them. Hopefully at the end of our life, we will have shed most of them. And even if indeed to the end of our days, we still have things that assail us that we have not yet been able to be completely purged of, the Lord says, things that make us know that He will receive us if we live as this woman lived. That is, the woman in the Gospel and the woman Mary of Egypt. Some of you might not know the story very well. And that is a shame, because this is the kind of thing we should know by heart. This is the thing we should be able to tell from beginning to end, not missing any of the great meaning. St. Mary was a terrible sinner. As a young girl, she left her parents, went to Alexandria. And as she said, discreetly, she lost her maidenhood. And then she fell into every kind of sin, every kind of vice there was. She became addicted to carnality, whether it be sex, whether it be food, whether it be wild songs, whether it be drink. Everything and anything she found herself doing. And this was life to her, she said. And then by God's providence, she who was in Alexandria, far away from Jerusalem, saw a boat that was going to go to Jerusalem for the exaltation of the cross. She wanted to get on this boat, not because she had any desire to see the church. She'd seen it, actually probably hadn't seen it or looked at it, but she'd been in the church one time in her life. She'd been baptized. Perhaps she went as a little girl, but then when she became slightly older, I think it was 12 years old, she abandoned the Christian way of life completely. And her conscience was completely dead. She said, this was life to me. This is all she wanted, was to live in filth. And even on the ship, she wanted to live in filth. Because for her, there was a lot of young men. She wanted to be on this ship, and she thought, well, this is a long voyage, and I will have more than enough to satisfy my passion. But of course, this passion could never be satisfied. And when she gets to Jerusalem, she's still flitting about looking for everyone and anyone that can satisfy her lusts and her cravings. And she finds herself pushed towards the church by the crowd. I don't mean pushed literally. I mean it was like an interesting thing to her. Everyone else is going. There's not anything else to do. Let's see what's happening. And this is when she came to her senses, when she could not go through the church because the Holy Spirit would not allow her to go through the portal. Here is this big crowd pushing into the church. There's no way anyone, no matter how strong they are, could keep themselves from being pushed along with the torrent. And yet, she could not go in, no matter how hard she tried. So slowly it came to her when she went out into the portal and she saw the Theotokos, the icon of the Theotokos, and she realized what her sins were. Now this is where, in this story, we make a great mistake if we do not wholly, completely identify ourselves with Mary up to this point. We say, well, you know, we've not had thousands of lovers, we've not done this, we've not done that. It matters not what you've not done, that you say you've not done. All the things that you've forgotten are abominable to God. All these sins that you've committed that you don't know of, that you don't remember, that you make excuses for. Since after all, God is love, any time that we judge, any time that we hate, any time that we do anything that is not according to love, this is, as it were, anti-God. So a sin cannot be worse than to be completely against love. And I don't think any one of us can really stand here honestly and say that we have not sinned grievously against God. So we are like Mary up to this point. But look what happened afterwards. By the grace of God, through the prayers of the Theotokos, she went into the church, she venerated the cross, she left to go to the monastery of St. John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan, and spent 47 years in the desert. The first 17 of those years were spent in terrible, terrible trials. She would remember the songs, and she would remember the meat and the fish she had so much of. And she'd remember the caresses she loved so much. And it would be difficult for her, and she would burn with this lust. And as she says in her story, sometimes she would be there for a day and a night. She would lay on the ground, begging God's help. And then grace would overshadow her, and she would be able to get up and arise. But this happened for 17 years. After all of this work, and all of this hunger, and the nakedness, and the cold, and the hot, and everything else, she felt grace completely descend upon her. She always remembered her past. She always was humble about her past. But she was filled with the grace of God, so much that when she prayed, her feet were above the ground. So much that she knew Saint Zosimus even before he introduced himself to her. She knew of Abba John, and she knew of the monastery, and she knew of many things. She knew of all of the scriptures, she who was illiterate. Because the grace of the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she knew all things. Because God revealed them to her. Now, if we are like Mary before the portal, we must strive to be like her after the portal. We must consider ourselves to be full of dead works and desire ourselves to be purged of them. That's what Christianity is. Seeing within yourself there's something that's just not right and wanting to get rid of it. And if you remember this, then you will be like that man that looks in the mirror and remembers what he looks like. You'll be like the debtor who remembers that he was forgiven a great debt. You'll be like Mary, who knew that God forgave her all of her sins because of being baptized in Christ and having faith in him. And she, because of her great love for Christ, offered to him, as it were, the alabaster box of ointment. And what is this? Her life, her works. This woman, Mary, and this woman who was a sinner, meld into our minds as one. And this woman who was the sinner, she brought before Jesus a box of expensive ointment, because it is symbolic of her offering her repentance to him, her joy, her gratitude, her works, her life, of her realizing that something very dear had been given to her. That is, herself was back. Her ability to become good, to be purged of all the things she had done, horrible things, to have them forgotten, and to be changed, and to be able to live in service to the King of Kings. So she brought her box of ointments, her works, her actions, her life. And she brought tears, the repentance, the sorrow over what she had formerly done. For a Christian, to be sorrowful and joyful is really the same. Because our sorrow over what we are and what we have been should be always tempered with joy over what we are becoming and what we are. We always remember the two together. In the world, we don't understand this. But in the Christian life, we do. Sorrow and joy are together. Because when we remember with sorrow the things we formerly did, then we will feel the full joy of knowing what God has done for us. And then we will be moved to give him that alabaster box of ointment and to give him our tears and to offer to him our entire life. All of us are children in God by faith in Jesus Christ. Only if we live as children I've told you before many times, almost all of you. The very beginning of the creed teaches us everything about the Christian faith we need to know. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. If He is Father, we are His sons and daughters. And we know our nature. We know that we are not sons and daughters by our own abilities, by our own nature. We are sons and daughters by grace, by faith. Therefore, we should be filled with a sense of gratitude. And this gratitude should motivate us to do good things. Let us see an example of someone who did not understand this gratitude. Oh, he understood about the theology, and he saw the miracles, and he probably in some fashion believed in Christ. But he missed the point. Later on, he would understand, because he was Simon the Pharisee. And he said to himself, how can this woman, how can this man, if he's a prophet, not know what kind of woman this is? He was judging the woman, and therefore judging Christ. And later on, they all judged him when he forgave the woman their sin, her sins. You can see, I hope you see, how terrible judgment of others is. We are in the same predicaments. We are like a drowning man judging someone that does not know how to swim. What insanity is this? If this Pharisee had understood his own sins, he would have taken great pleasure in seeing God accept another sinner and cleanse her and strengthen her and help her. Instead, he judged her. Because according to his code of conduct, he wasn't as bad as she was. And so he committed a great blasphemy of judging. Let me submit to you that let us offer to God at least this one thing. Let us this have at least one thing here in our alabaster box of ointments. And let it be that we do not judge. Let this be our offering to Him. Let us remember, it should be relatively easy, because whenever you see sin, it should be just like you're looking at a mirror and you see yourself. Perhaps not that sin that you've committed. Perhaps you haven't committed the one you're looking at. But when you see the sinful nature of someone, you should think of yourself. And when you do see yourself, then you should think of, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Therefore, when someone does something that is sinful, or maybe just when someone is a person you don't particularly like, or is a little shady, or dishonest, or all of the other things that are the condition of man, in which we share to a greater or lesser degree, offer to God this one thing. To not judge this person. See how you can do it this week. If you're careful, you'll see that there are many, many times that you would be tempted to judge, or maybe begin to judge, and be able to stop yourselves. And don't think just because you don't see these occurrences. Don't think like if you this week you would say, okay, I'm going to try really hard. You say, I didn't notice any times I judged anybody. Then you are like the people of the Gergesenes, completely not noticing life go by you. Because I guarantee each and every one of us will judge others, will be tempted to judge, and will judge. And if we struggle against this temptation, then we will be offering to God the greatest thing in our alabaster box of ointment. Oh yes, there are other things we can add to it. Purity, prayer, greater fasting, lack of selfishness, thinking of others. Many, many things can go into this box. But let us start with not judging. Because we have before us the anti-example of how to live. This Pharisee, who sees a great thing taking place before him. And instead of noticing this great thing, instead, he judges. St. Mary didn't judge anyone because she was absolutely convinced of her own sinfulness, but also of her own standing in grace before God, because he had purged her conscience of dead works. Do you want to be purged of dead works? Are there things that you're ashamed of? Are there things that you wish you hadn't done? Are there things that you wish you stopped doing? Are there things that you cannot do that you wish you did? Are there things you regret in your life? If so, then God has the answer for you. He will allow you to be purged of your dead works. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And we must love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And the way to love him in this way is to recognize how much he has given us. Then indeed we will be truly children of God. We will be truly purged of all of our dead works. May God help us to be like Mary. May God help us to remember that we indeed were formerly exiles far away from Christ, but have been brought near. May we remember this. May we remember that we are the debtor who owed 10,000 talents. May we remember that we are the sinner that God has forgiven. So let us continually offer to God ointment. And let us begin with this one particular kind of ointment, and that is to not judge, which is synonymous with also with forgiving. If we do not judge, God will not judge us. But much more than this, if we do not judge, God will open up to us the cataracts of his grace, and it will spill upon us, and we will indeed be filled with him. Filled with him so that nothing else, there's no room for anything else. So our conscience will be purged completely of all dead works, of all things which make us ashamed, and we will be serving the living God. So, God, brothers and sisters, offer to God this in your box of ointments, to not judge. God help us in this. Amen. Thank you.